put our hands together and welcome the woman of God, Pastor Ellen Moody. Of harvest time. Is this harvest time? Harvest Time Christian Center on South Post Road. I remember the address, 2240 South Post Road. That's where she ministered. I've had the grace to minister to the church she pastors. I just shake my head. Let God Himself be my eyewitness. As I'm handing her the mic, woman of God, preach the word in Jesus' name.
Good evening. Let me say that it's so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. I have enjoyed the worship, haven't you? Praise the Lord. And you know, Pastor Bovic, I didn't know your kids were so talented. My goodness. Oh, wow. Let's bless these young people. That's awesome. That is awesome. You have very talented young people. My, I almost wanted to get a little covetous there while they were singing. I thought, I'd kind of like to load them up in my van and take them to harvest time. They are good. They are good. Let me tell you, they are good. And it's also a privilege tonight to be here. Let me say that. And I want to express my appreciation to Apostle Bovic and his wife for allowing me to be a part of this conference, this kickoff service. God's presence is here. I've been enjoying the Lord already. And thank you for allowing me to be a part of your evening. I appreciate it so very, very much. It's nice this evening to have my daughter Dana with me and my brother Lyman from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and they're here tonight, so I welcome them right along with all of you, and thank you for coming, and I know that as this conference goes along, it's going to get better. As they would say down in Kentucky, it'll just get gooder and gooder and gooder. How's that? It'll just get gooder and gooder and gooder. Praise the name of the Lord. Just with expressing my appreciation. And you know, I never did get that bottle of water, Pastor Bovic. That's okay. Praise the Lord. But God is so good, isn't He? When you came into the service tonight, did you have something specific on your heart that you were believing God to do in this conference for you? Did you come with something on your agenda between you and God that God was going to do for you? Sometimes we have to make our minds up that, God, this is what I want, you know, and pinpoint that thing between you and the Lord. I have a lot of requests when I go before God, and probably there are times that He thinks, well, hey, wait a minute, slow down, slow down, slow down, you know, but God is a big God. And the word says His ears are open. They are open to us who cry upon cry to Him. Aren't you glad for that? Praise the name of the Lord. Did you open that up, brother? I put these pastors to work when I come to town. Thank you so very much. Praise the Lord. It's also very, very good tonight, and I'll just put the mic down here for just a minute while I'll get drunk in your presence, okay? It's very good to meet this fellow bishop tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. This is my first time to meet you, and may I say God bless you. And I know when he ministers, the fire's going to come down. I could tell it just standing there next to him. I could feel the anointing of God. It exudes from his person. That's a wonderful thing. You know, when Moses came down from the mount, the Bible says they had to put a veil upon him because his face glowed so with the glory of God. In the early days of Pentecost, I remember thinking back about the days when I was first saved, and that was about 47 years ago that I accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Now, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, so don't start counting on your fingers and toes, okay? Not going to go there, but I can remember, you know, from having no church background, and my parents had come to the Lord basically when I was really already grown, right around that time of my life. And so I didn't grow up in a, quote, traditional Christian home. A good home. I had good parents. They were moral people. But I didn't know what it was to serve the Lord. And when I was saved, when God directed me into a church, being a young lady from Kentucky, I used to think, well, when God began to deal with my heart, actually, can I talk to you just a little bit before I preach? Is that okay? So you'll get to know a little something about me, and I'm going to get to know a lot about you, okay, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But when I was a young gal and had just gotten married and moved to the city of Indianapolis, my husband and I never had known anything about Christ, knew nothing about the Word of God. I remember when God first began to visit my life. At 21 years old, I would get on the bus. I lived on the east side at that time, and go downtown to Indianapolis, where I worked downtown for, oh, quite a number of years, as a matter of fact. But right around the time that I was getting on, right around 20 to 21 years old, as I rode the city bus to go downtown, I'll never forget when this began to happen in my life. I began to hear a voice that was speaking to me, and it was so loud, I thought somebody was in the seat behind me talking to me. I knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that He talked to people. I didn't know that God talked to people. I knew nothing about that. But this voice began to speak to me. And I would look around. I'd look over my shoulder because it began to sort of scare me in a sense. It was so strong in my spirit. You know, I could just hear this voice speaking to me. And the voice said, you need to be saved. You need to go to church. Did you know God wants people to go to church? Yes, He does. And the voice continued to talk to me and say, you need to go to church. Well, I didn't know anything about the city. I was brand new here. My idea of church was a little white building on a country road down in Kentucky. That was all that I knew about church. But at any rate, months went by, and God spoke to me over and over and over again about the fact that I needed to go to the house of God. He said, you need to take your family and go to church. And I thought, Lord, I don't know anything. At that time, I really began to realize it was God talking to me. You see, I had never had a witness up until that time of someone sitting down with me and explaining what salvation meant. But in the months that came around after God began to talk to me, the Holy Spirit explained to me what it meant to be saved. And I didn't know before that. And I just began to dialogue with God back and forth out of my heart. And I said, Lord, I don't know where to find a church. I don't know where to go to church. Like I said, in my mind's eye, a church was a little white building on a country road in Kentucky. That's all I knew about church. Well, in process of time, what God did, He directed our family into one of the larger churches in Indianapolis at that time that ran about 2,000 people. It was nothing like that little white country church that I had a mental picture of growing up in the country in Kentucky. But it was there that I was saved, and God baptized me in the Holy Spirit when I was 25 years of age. I received a mighty baptism of the Spirit of God. And I knew when God baptized me in the Holy Spirit that I was called of God to do some kind of a work, but I didn't know why or what. I didn't know what kind of a work that God had in mind for me. But when God filled me with the Spirit, I knew that it had something to do with the Word of God. So in process of time, God visited my life again and gave me a vision and spoke to me about a work that He was calling my husband and I to do. And so basically at 39 years of age, years of being prepared, years of serving in a local church here in the city, 18 years as a matter of fact, before we launched out into ministry. But at age 39, God opened the door, and we went full-time into the ministry. And I've been preaching the gospel ever since then. I have been preaching the gospel ever since then. Hallelujah to God. Blessed be. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. Well, we've seen a lot of things happen in our time. We have seen God bring the lost in. We have seen the Lord do miracles. I remember one time after we had accepted the pastorate, I got a call from Logansport, Indiana, and they said, Pastor Moody, we're having a Women's Aglow Fellowship up here in Logansport, and we would like to have you come as a speaker. And I said, all right. So we had an event in our church on Friday evening. And after that event, Dana and myself and Dustin and Brother John, who was with us then, that is my husband who passed away almost 3 years ago. But we went to Logansport, Indiana. And so that Saturday morning, I got up very early. I thought, well, you know, I believe that I know what God wants me to minister on today at this Women's Aglow Fellowship. So I prepared my outline and my notes. And you know what we preachers do. We get ready to preach, right? But anyhow, I went into the, they were actually having it in a motel up there in Logansport, Indiana. And there was quite a group of people there that morning. So anyway, the worship progressed and I got up to minister and I thought I was going to bring the word of God. But the Spirit of God began to move and God began to show me something. And he said, there is a woman here who has flat feet. And if you will call her to come right now, he said, I will heal her. And of course, I didn't let myself get into unbelief. I didn't waste time. I got right into doing what God said to do. But the lady, I gave that word of knowledge, and there was a woman all the way in the back. She got up from where she was, and she literally ran up to the front of that group. And they placed a chair here in the front, and there was one of the Aglow officers on one side and one on the other. And I was standing in front of her, and I leaned over to pray for her. I said, put your feet in my hands. And before that she could do that, the power of God hit that woman's feet, and God put new arches in her feet right before the eyes of everybody. God is good. And when our brother said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you can believe it. Hallelujah. You can take it to the bank, child of God. There were 5 people in that meeting that were healed of cancer. And there were quite a number that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to do great and mighty things for his people. Amen. You know what? He's a good God. He is Abba Father. And no good thing, the word says, will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. And so the blessing of the Lord, the word says, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Our God is a God who is a blesser, and I am the blessee. How about you tonight? Hallelujah to God. You know, we need the blessing of the Lord upon our lives. But we have seen God do some mighty things down through these 29 years of full-time ministry and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one night that when we first started the little church over on Brookville Road, you know, I think about your situation here. A pastor is an apostle. They go in and they dig out a work where there isn't a work. And people come in and they begin to get established in the things of God. Well, we started the work in a little storefront building over on Brookville Road. And one Thursday night, I went in and we were doing the midweek service. We call it midweek, but it was on a Thursday night at that time. And so anyway, I just had opened the service in prayer. And all of a sudden, I heard, it was like the presence of God came. But then I heard the voice of God speak to me. And he said, I want you to call all of the young people, 13 years old and under, to the front of the building. I'm going to baptize them in the Holy Spirit tonight. Well, I made an altar call for children that were 13 years old and under. And they came up to the front, and every last one of them were miraculously baptized in the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. You know, the word says that in the latter times that God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, upon your sons and upon your daughters, upon the servants and upon the handmaidens. God said, I will pour out in those days of my spirit and they shall prophesy. So we need to expect great things from God. Amen. Throughout these conference hours that are before you, expect great things from God. I would love tonight to be a part of a group of people that when they leave here, they are so drunk on the Spirit of God that we could be accused of being drunk like they were in the book of Acts when God poured out the Spirit. Probably most of us haven't seen anything like that in a long time in our lives. But in America, we need to see it again. Amen. One of the little ladies that used to be in our church, she was in her 70s at that time. Her name was Hazel Smith, and she came in, and she was a little Baptist lady, but she loved God with everything that she had. She would come into the service, and she'd lift her hands and start praising God, and the next thing we knew, that lady was so drunk on the Spirit of God, we had to take her to her car and get her home because she was so drunk in the Spirit. So filled with God's Spirit. I say, God, do it again. God, do it again. God, do it again. They that hunger and thirst, the Word of God says, they shall be filled with the righteousness of God. They'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about this mighty baptism of the Spirit, and he said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. John 7:37, this spake he of the Spirit. Now, what prompted those words from the Lord was that the priest would come as the Passover time and all that the Jews were involved in at that moment. He would come, and on the seventh day of the feast, he would begin to pour water over the altar area. And the Lord was watching this pouring of the water that was traditional to the Jewish people. And he began to cry out. He began to raise his voice among the people. And he said, whosoever thirsts, let him come and drink of the water that I shall give him. For it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, that was prophetic in his word concerning what God was going to do once he had given his life for the sins of people, had been raised from the dead, and then he would pour out the Spirit of God 50 days later on 120 waiting people, and they would turn their world upside down by the power of God. God loves young people. Did you know that? God loves young people. He wants to do a work in the lives of young people. He wants to fill young people with the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm just fully convinced that in these end time hours, we're going to see a lot of young people be raised up and be mighty men and women of God. I really believe that. I have prophesied that to my church. I have said that in the end of the age, that the Lord is going to put his hand upon young people. He's going to baptize them in the Spirit. He's going to call them to the work of God. They're going to be mighty in the earth. And I'm believing God that my family will be a part of that. How about you? Praise the Lord. All right, let's stand together tonight. We're going to take the Word of God in hand. That was the first sermon, and I'm getting ready to preach the second. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He's quoting here from Deuteronomy. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here. For it's written, He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, It is said, or it is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all of the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Father, we thank you tonight in Jesus' name for your goodness. We thank you for this time with your people. We pray now for the enablement that comes from the Spirit of God upon us, Lord, to bring the Word of God. Open hearts and open minds and bring the challenge from the Word. Make it real tonight, Holy Spirit. Help each of us to know that these are kingdom days and there is a kingdom that is soon to come. And if we want to be a part of that kingdom, we've got to make up our mind whose side that we are on, and we're going to march to the drumbeat of the tune of heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, we bind every hindering force. We command it to go in the name of Jesus. We release the power of the Spirit of God upon this time by the power of the blood in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen, so be it. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Tonight I'll minister on the subject, the two kingdoms. The theme of this conference is kingdom promotion. And that's exactly what we're here for tonight, is to promote, declare, and experience kingdom realities and delivering power. Amen. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Let me say it again. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. So make no mistake about it. God's kingdom is the most aggressive and powerful force in the earth today. It has its roots in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you tell me his name? Can you tell me his name? Amen. Praise the Lord. What I want to start with this evening, basically, is to build a foundation in this first service. And then as I minister on Sunday night, I want to, I'm dividing basically this message into two thoughts. First of all, we're going to get acquainted with who our enemy is. We're going to build a foundation from the Word of God, because every army in the land, throughout the world, here in America and otherwise, if they're going to go out and do battle, they evaluate their enemy. They get to know who their enemy is. Amen? They know something about the opposing force that they're up against. They're going to find out how powerful he is. They're going to find out about the enemy's limitations. They're going to find out something about his technique, his ploy, the fiery darts, as Paul said, of the wicked one. And so consequently, the message will be divided down into two parts. Tonight, we're going to look at the kingdom of Satan. And Sunday night, we're going to look at the reigning kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tie it together to help you understand tonight that greater is the one that is in you than the one that is in the world. You serve a great God. You know, as the psalmist David said, of whom shall I fear? I am walking with God. He said, I looked on my left hand and I looked on my right hand. I was looking for a man to help me. I didn't find one. But then he said, I lifted up mine eyes and I looked unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from God, my Redeemer and my strength, the very joy of my life. Matthew 4 and Luke 4 provide the account of the two kingdoms. Now we know this as the story of the temptation of Jesus Christ. The Lord was fresh from his water baptism, where John the Baptist had declared him to be the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. The fact of who he is was confirmed by God the Father when he spoke from heaven and he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We don't have to question tonight, church, about who Jesus Christ is. If you believe this old book, you and I believe the same thing, that he is the Son of God that gave his life for the sin of the world, ministered, was crucified, was buried, and after Friday came Sunday, hallelujah, and raised from the dead. The word says he was declared to be the Son of God with power. So God affirmed him, and it was John the Baptist who said, "He is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world." But then as you follow along tonight in the gospel accounts, you find that the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, led there is a very strong word. It means to be driven into the wilderness. Why? Because he was going to face the very one that he had kicked out of heaven so many eons in the past. Now there was confrontation time that was getting ready to happen. He's going to encounter the fallen angel who was Satan himself. Keep in mind tonight that the first Adam fell victim to Satan's temptation 4 millennia ago. He and Eve lost their exalted position as rulers of the earth. They had a wonderful dominion over the creation of God. He had declared that they were to rule. They were to be in charge. They were to have dominion. But because of the lie of Satan and the temptation of the devil, the word of God says they lost that exalted place in Eden, the garden of God. And some scholars declare or believe they were probably there only about 6 days when they succumbed to the temptation of the evil one and were driven outside the Garden of Eden. You know what happened? God put a flaming sword there, an angel in a flaming sword, to keep them from being able to go back into the garden again. I just got to share this with you. One day, we all know that Adam and Eve had 2 sons. Early in the story, their names were Cain and Abel. And we all know they were put outside the garden. Now they had to make their living by the sweat of their brow. They had to work hard. The ground was no longer lush and green and watered by the power of God. Now there were thistles, there were thorns, there were all of the things that we hate to deal with. That's what they had to deal with. Life took on a fallen nature. Life took on a fallen journey. But nevertheless, one day, Adam was out there with his son Cain and Abel, and they were walking along on a late afternoon day. And so anyway, there came a time that they passed this place that was all boarded up. And so one of the boys looked over at his dad, and he said, "Daddy," he said, "what is that place over here that's all boarded up like this?" And Adam said, "Son," he said, "that's where we used to live before your mama ate us out of house and home. That's where we used to live before mama ate us out of house and home." But nevertheless, they were expelled from Eden, the garden of God. Then approximately 4,231 years and 6 days later, let's say it together, 4,231 years and 6 days later. Can you say it? 4,000 years, 4,231 years and 6 days later, the second Adam came on the scene as the Son of Man, anointed by the Spirit of God to begin preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. I've got good news for you. He's doing the same thing today. Amen. His anointing has been transferred. It's been given, as it were, to you and I as children of God. Do you believe tonight that you can do the things that Jesus did? Do you believe that you can lay hands upon the sick? Do you believe that you can call out demon spirits? Do you believe that men and women, boys and girls, will be filled with the Holy Ghost because of the anointing of God that is upon your life? I believe it with you. Hallelujah to God. But now, in looking at this particular text in chapter 4, And I am in Luke chapter 4 for a few moments. It says that Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. You know, God gave to him the Spirit without measure, according to John in his epistle. And what happens here is Jesus is so filled with the Holy Spirit. Now comes the testing time. I want to mention this to you, child of God. I've talked to believers that sometimes after they have been baptized in the Spirit, and they run headlong into the devil, they are so shocked because they've been saved, they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And why in the world am I having these battles? What is this all about? Why is it that I'm experiencing the fiery darts of the wicked one? Why is it that Satan is coming after me? I've just received a brand new baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something about my personal experience. When I was filled with the Holy Spirit, it wasn't long after that until I started going through real battle with the devil. Now, remember, I had no Bible teaching, basically, to draw from, or very little. You know, I was new in Christ. I was just a young believer. And I thought, well, you know, I've been saved by the blood. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why am I having these battles? The enemy was coming against me very, very powerfully. You see, I had my theology in reverse, brother, because I thought once I was saved, once I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, listen, I've got the Spirit on the inside, and the enemy's just going to run by looking at me. How many of you know my theology wasn't right? My theology was a little askew. Because I found out that the enemy came after me like I'd never known those fiery darts. I had never known such a battle. Demon spirits came against me personally. I won't go there too deep tonight. But to tell you that I was attacked by demon spirits, even in my own home. Listen, let me tell you something. When you get a hold of God and God gets a hold of you, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's take the example of Jesus here. He was full of the Holy Ghost. But who did he encounter? Say it with me. He encountered the devil. Amen. So if you, and some of you, I really believe this tonight. You know, you have wondered, why is it that I'm going through these battles that I'm going through? Why is it that I'm facing what I'm facing? Why is it that I feel these powers coming against me? Listen, I'm here tonight to tell you, we're going to pray for you, and the enemy is going to flee, because you're going to understand that yes, you are in a battle, you are in warfare, but the victory that overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil is the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. Glory be to God. Well, the word says here that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was driven into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Doesn't mean that he was there 40 days and then Satan shows up. It means almost from the onset, as the scholars say, that the battle began to be set in array. Jesus was fasting day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, day 7, day 8, day 9, day 10, day 11, day 12. And he's getting a little weaker in his body. And so the word says that the tempter came to him and he said, if, have you ever heard the devil give you an if clause? If you are really saved, if you really know God, if you really have the goods, have you ever heard the devil tell you that? Well, that's what he said to Jesus. Now remember, Jesus created him. He knew exactly who he was talking to. But it just like he undermined Adam and Eve, he was going to see if he could undermine Christ and keep him from the cross. And so he said, I know that your stomach has grown to your backbone. And look at all of these stones laying here. Why don't you just speak to them and create a gourmet bread? It's okay. Do it. And Jesus came back with what? The Indianapolis Star? The Wall Street Journal? No, but he said, thus says the Lord God, it is written, Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Almighty God. Well, that backed the devil off for a day or two. He went back to re-strategize and think about it a little bit more. Then he came back and he said, well, now let's see here. I'm going to try a different technique. Let's go to the next thing. I'm going to find out where the chink in his armor is. Did you know that you are under constant evaluation, child of God? Did you know that the enemy is evaluating you day and night? He has demons on your trail to find out where you're strong and to find out where you're weak. And when he sees those areas where you're weak, that's where he's going to attack you. For some people, it's anger. I have worked with people that have a spirit of anger about them. And you know, I've had to try to diffuse that person with the word of God before you can even deal with them, to help them with the spirit of anger. You know, there are all kinds of demon spirits in this world, and they're working to attack the children of God. If the enemy will come to Jesus to tempt, don't you realize tonight he's going to come knocking on your door? You're not Jesus, but you belong to him. Amen. So you're going to need to know what to do when he comes after you. Are you going to put on the whole armor of God? Or are you going to be watching the days of our life every afternoon? I don't know if that's on still or not. But nevertheless, you know, are you going to be somewhere during that day in the Word and talking to God? Or some people will just trade in watching Christian television for intimacy with God and being alone with him. You know, that might be good, but it's not the goodest. Now I just created a new word. It's not the goodest. It might be good to watch whoever that you're watching, John Hagee or Hal Lindsey or whoever your favorite might be. But listen, child of God, the word says put on the whole armor of God. Get your mind girded up with the word of God. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And bring always, how many heard the word, always with prayer and supplication. That means going beyond, Lord, bless me and my four and no more. It means getting down before God into intercession and calling upon God for nations, calling upon God for the lost, calling upon God for the church, calling upon God for the sick, calling upon God to deliver the possessed. Let's go back now to that second strategy that Satan came up with there in the mount of temptation. The devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. You know, in other words, in spirit, there was some kind of a spiritual thing that happened here where the enemy showed him the power of the kingdoms of the world. And the devil went on and said this, all of this power. Now I want you to listen carefully here tonight. How many of you have your hearing aid turned up? How many of you are really listening? I've got something to say, so come on, let's listen up. And the devil said unto him, all of these kingdoms. The word there, power, can be translated kingdoms. Will I give you, and the glory of them? For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you therefore will worship me, all of this shall be yours. Literally here, the enemy takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple, up to the mountain rather, and makes a promise, all of the kingdoms of the world. Did you know we live in a world that is a big world and has a lot of kingdoms in it? There's a lot going on under this banner in our day and time. You and I are living in a very precarious prophetic age. We need to understand something about the kingdom of darkness that rules in this present evil world. Does not rule over God, no, but it rules over the hearts of unconverted people and seeks to get a foothold in the life of the Christian if he cannot stop you. He will develop a plan to hinder you from God's best and God's will in your life. You need to know that. You're not exempt from the attacks of the enemy. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is wonderful. It is a tantamount way on the blessing to victory. But remember this, Jesus didn't defeat him by saying, I'm full of the Spirit. He defeated the devil by saying, God said, and it is written, and you can count on what God said, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to go then to that third temptation that came about. So Jesus here, before I get to that, rebukes him basically and said, get thee behind me. It's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Did you know that Satan here opened the pen, the plethora of his heart, and he showed what he's really after? It's worship. He wants the worship of people. He wants people to worship him rather than God. Then in verse 9, it says he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, see that if clause again, has he ever again said to you, if you are really a Christian, this wouldn't be happening to you. If you were really a Christian, you would not be ensnared with this. If you're really a Christian, you would not be struggling with this. If you were really a Christian, you would have courage to witness. If you were really a Christian, you'd really know how to pray. If you were really a Christian, you would do this or you would do that. Has he ever whispered that to your ear? You better believe that he has. He brings him to the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast down yourself from here. And there he misquoted the word of God, just enough like he did in the Garden of Eden, and Eve fell for it. But Jesus didn't. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. For it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Well, he quoted there out of the Psalms in the Old Testament. And rather than literally go to that, here's where I want to go with the thought. Now, he said there, if you will, speaking to Jesus, if you will worship me, I will give you all of the powers or the kingdoms of this world. And to whomsoever I will, I give them. Now, tonight, many believers are in a quandary about what's happening in our world. We are seeing strange things. Amen. In the Middle East, we're seeing nations that have risen up and they are in chaos tonight, rebellion tonight, anarchy tonight. You know, give us a democratic government. Give us this, give us that, give us the other. Well, the fact of the matter is to want a democratic government is a wonderful thing. But unfortunately, what many of them are going to get is not a democratic government. They're going to be ruled by a strong-armed dictator, but they don't understand that. You see, there's chaos going on in our world tonight. Now, you know, we are pondering about the things that are coming down the pike in our own country. We hear something called the Hate Crime Act, something that already in Canada, if a minister of the gospel stands behind the pulpit and he says, God says homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of God, that minister can be hauled off to jail. Did you know that under the Hate Crime Act in America, that can come down the pike before long? Now we have taken God out of our schools by and large. He's not included in our graduation exercises. I just heard yesterday on Focus on the Family where a high school they were seniors, actually, a high school group of young people were asked to write a report. And they could choose any subject they wanted to write on. And so some chose one subject, some chose another. But one young girl, she chose to write a report on Jesus of Nazareth. All right, she was given liberty, according to the teacher, to write on any subject that she chose. She wrote a report on Jesus of Nazareth, handed her report in, and was subsequently and almost immediately expelled from school, even to where she could not graduate, if I understand it right, with her class. And her parents have taken that all the way to the Supreme Court in America,
And as far as I know, at this point, it looks like she lost her case. Let me tell you, the enemy said to Jesus, the kingdoms of this world are mine, and to whomsoever I will, I give them. We ponder why that, the governmental process may be what it is. We ponder why it is there is so much corruption that seems to be coming in high places, coming from high places. But remember the word of the enemy right here. Because when he said to Jesus, the kingdoms of this world are mine, he didn't lie about that. He usurped that authority back there in the Garden of Eden. And the word says he's been the God of this world for the unbeliever, that is, ever since. He is not the God of you and me today because we have changed masters. Amen. We march to the tune of a different drumbeat. But for those that are in darkness and those that are in sin and those that occupy high places, who despise the name of God, who despise the name of Jesus, because they are indwelt by the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of the enemy. And yes, Satan gives those high positions. Let me tell you, he's very busy about it. He is very, very busy about it. And Jesus said to him, on the heels of this temptation, it is written, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Let me tell you what Paul said about kingdom warfare. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, Ephesians 6. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, which means in the heavenlies. Now, the greater the warfare in the heavenlies, let me tell you something that Morris Sorello used to say, and I believe him to be right. The heavenlies tonight, that is the arena of all of the demonic spirits. They occupy that first level of atmospheric heavens. Now, Satan, the Bible says, is the god of this world, the god of the unbelievers. And he walks about seeking those whom he may devour. But the warfare heats up in the heavenlies. And that struggle goes on in the heavenlies. And whatever is happening up there will be transferred down here. That is why it's so important for the church to do what Jesus said when he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Christ said that. I didn't read that in the Pentecostal evangel. I read it out of the Word of God. That's called binding and loosing. Binding, say it with me, binding and loosing. We need to learn to do that in our lives. If you've got somebody still saved, or unsaved rather, how long has it been since you have bound the work of the enemy over their minds? Bind that spirit in the name of the Lord by the power of the blood, and God will release his spirit to go to that individual and begin to talk to them about the Son of God. Paul said, we're in a wrestling match. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, it's the Democrats' fault. It's the Republicans' fault. It's the fault of the independents. But what we don't understand is there is an arrayed army of demonic powers that are orchestrating the events in this world, and they're on their job. And Christ says to the church, bind them up, cast them down, and release the power of God as a church body, as the people of God, to flow against that and defeat the powers of the devil. Now, let me tell you something. Remember what I said, as it goes in the heavenlies, so goes it on the earth. Do you remember when Daniel fought with the prince of Persia? About 21 days before Daniel prayed 21 days, and God sent a high-powered angel And he had to wrestle with that prince of Persia that was keeping Daniel's prayers from being answered. You see, Daniel stood in the gap and God stood by his promise. And he sent the angel of God to do battle with that prince over the region of Persia. Are you aware of the fact that Satan has principalities and powers over every nation? They're over every village. They're over every town. They're over every city. And they have free reign in unconverted homes. They can just go in and wreak havoc. You know, they can cause little children to be abused. They can cause teenagers to get on drugs. They can cause parents to become alcoholics. Why? Because they are being led not by the Spirit of God, but by Satan's kingdom in the earth. Do you pray for the lost? Do you say, God, I bind the powers of hell that blind the eyes of men and women that are lost and without God? And I release the spirit of conviction from God upon them. You know something? One of the little ladies in our church, I used to tell them in Bible study on Wednesday night, I said, this is how you pray for your lost loved ones. Let me tell you how to pray for them. Let me tell you how to see the victory here. Well, her husband was meaner than a junkyard dog. I mean, whether church was over by 12:15 or not, it was over for her because she had to get up and leave. I mean, she had to be out of there. She had to be on the doorstep at about 20 after 12. And if she wasn't, let me tell you, it wasn't a pleasant afternoon for her. Well, when she would come back on Sunday night, whether the church service was over or not, when a certain time came, she'd have to look at her watch and she'd have to be out of there. Because if she did not do what he told her to do, she might get slapped around. She might get cursed out. She might not get to come back to church the next time. But what she began to do was to bind that spirit of the devil over his life and release the spirit of conviction upon him. Well, she did this and for a number of months, and then he became sort of open. So when they went to bed at night, she took the Bible in her hand and she said, Bob, let me read to you from over here. So she started reading the word of God to him. Next thing I knew, that man started coming to church with her. One Sunday morning, I called people to the altar. He came right along with them. And I said, do you want to be saved today? He said, yes, I do. Hallelujah. Led him to God, baptized him in water, and he's been very faithful to the house of God since then. I'm telling you, the word works if we work it. You know, we just kind of forget to work it, don't we? You know, we forget to work the word of God. But let me encourage you to do that. Because those spirits don't want to let an unconverted man or woman go. Did you know that? They don't want to let their temple go. I remember several years ago, matter of fact, I had just laid down to rest. It was at night, and I had just laid down to rest. Sometimes God shows me visions when I just right at the time I lie down for my night's sleep, he'll show me something. This particular time, this is what he showed me. I saw I don't want to say persons, but beings would be a better word. They were around, they looked like they were outside. And they were around something that looked like a campfire. All three of them, they were hooded persons, beings. They looked like they were probably 6 feet tall, all three of them. And all of a sudden, one of them jumped up, and with lightning speed, I saw him turn and fly up steps. And at the top of the steps, I saw something that looked like some kind of a throne. And it was so fast, but I saw he got some kind of a direction from the one seated on that throne. That seat was not majestic like God's throne, but it was some kind of like a man's throne. You know what I mean? There's a difference. And then I saw him turn and fly out of there with lightning speed. And I realized what God was showing me. The demons are waiting on their master for their orders. And when he calls one, they like that, and they go. But yet when God calls us, we have a tendency in our humanity to drag our feet. You know, they fly to do their task with lightning speed. But are we as quick to say, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. Yes, Lord, here I am. Let me go do what you want me to do. Today's true believers are and will be finding ourselves in a different type of warfare than Christians of even 20 years ago. I've been pastoring for 29 years, and I can tell you this. There's a different battle on today than there was when I first began pastoring. There's an entirely different battle that is on today than was when I began pastoring the people of God. Entirely different. We're going to have more from God today, I believe, than we had 20 years ago. We're going to know who we are in Christ. We're going to need to know who we have believed, and we're persuaded. Are you persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day? You're going to have to know whose side you are on. You must be equipped for the warfare that is at hand in 2011 and forward. You're going to be in a greater degree of warfare than ever before. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm telling you. You're going to be in a greater degree of warfare with the enemy than you were even 3 years ago. Let me tell you, child of God, it's becoming more intense, more deceptive, more evil, more wearing to the minds of the saints than in any recent generation on the face of the earth. Daniel said, the spirit of Antichrist, which is working today in the world, Paul said, right now, that was when Paul wrote that 2,000 plus years ago, that spirit of Antichrist doth already work. Daniel said that in the end of the age, that spirit would wear out the saints of the Most High God. Now think about that tonight, child of God. No wonder we're called to receive the refreshing. You're not big enough in your strength to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked one. You are in warfare. Don't try to coast in, because if you do, you'll coast out of the kingdom of God. You cannot coast in your relationship with God. You cannot coast in spiritual things. You cannot coast in your church attendance and be blessed of God. You need to bloom where God plants you and bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The warfare in our world today has greatly increased in the political arena as well as in the spiritual arena. So the word informs us that Satan, listen to me, he said, the kingdoms of this world are mine, and to whomsoever I will, I give them. Now, what is this all about? Satan is a strategist. He strategizes for results. He does not go on a Sunday school picnic to have a little fun. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Christ gave us his mission statement. Amen? So he's placing people, and I'm going to wind this up real quickly here, in strategic positions in the world, and sad to say, even in the church. Something wrong today when leaders will head up denominations and be living an aberrant lifestyle. Something wrong today when those who wear the cloth, as it were, will tell people it's all right to sin a little. It's okay to drink a little. It's all right to smoke a little. It's all right to do these things. Just don't get carried away with it. Every alcoholic had a first drink. Every drug user had his first, I'll use the word snort. I don't know. I've heard that word. So I guess it's what it is. Okay. You can tell I'm from down yonder. But you see, the fact of the matter is, Satan is placing people in strategic positions in the world. The global government is moving along right on target. And the global church is moving along right on target. How many have ever heard of interfaithism? Mr. Clinton espoused that just a few weeks ago and said that we should all honor one faith. You leave yours and honor the one the government tells you to honor. Well, you know, I read in the book of Acts where they tried to threaten those early apostles and said, hey, you guys better not teach or preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they looked at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and said, do what you think is best, but for us, we're going to keep on preaching the glorious gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So basically what Peter said is, get over it. Get over it. The church is here to stay until the rapture of the church happens. Get over it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you something as I wind this down. Just as there is a godly anointing, there is an ungodly anointing. Did you know that? Did you know that the devil can give divine enable, or not divine, but satanic enablements to people that he puts in power in certain areas, including church leadership, including government? People are being strategically placed in positions around this world and in high positions to work against Christ, his church, and his word. You know, church, today we are living in the end of the age. And I want to close this tonight by saying to you that there is coming a moment when the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah to God. You know, in verse 11 of Matthew 4, it says this, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Satan was not able to get an inroad. There wasn't a chink in the Lord's armor. When he comes to tempt you, what is he going to find? When he comes to tempt me, what is he going to find? It says in the book of John that when the enemy came, he found nothing in Jesus, for Jesus knew what was in man and did not commit himself to people. Smart advice, isn't it? Tonight, I want you to know that you have an enemy. He's formidable, but he is not all-powerful. He is wise, but not all-knowing. He is experienced, but there's still a way maker. Hallelujah. That says, you may be tempted for a season, but remember this with the temptation. He will make a way out of that for you. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but God does. And I'm here to pray with you. Let's stand together, shall we? And I'm going to ask our young people, if you'll come back and sing very softly and play the music very softly, because as I minister to people, you know, sometimes people want to whisper to me and tell me what their need is. They just want it to be private. And I understand that, and I honor that. Don't you? That's a good thing to do, that we just allow people to be ministered to very softly and in the presence of God. And God is able to break the yoke. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus breaks every fetter? Do you believe that he sets the captive free? Amen. Remember that he met Satan, whom he had created himself as Lucifer, son of the morning. He met him there in the wilderness and conquered him on every front by the power of the word of God.